Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
the Navy Band Christmas Concert. This is something that you will experience by listening to this podcast, and there's a bit of a mystery. We'll get to the end of it, and that's why a concert hall filled to the brim with pensioners. It's suddenly filled to the brim with pensioners, sort of a mourning thing. So let's put you in this situation. This is Australia. So you look in the globe, you turn it around, look underneath where Japan is, directly underneath Japan, and the southern hemisphere is Australia. And on the east coast, which is the right-hand side, is Sydney. And Sydney's got this sort of fairly quickly harbour, with the Harbour Bridge across a beautiful opera house. Harbour Bridge is sort of built from the age, an age when they didn't understand engineering. So it's sort of half cave painting. It's very, very aspirational bridge. The Sydney Harbour Bridge, built out of very thick girders. It's sort of bridge you'd imagine your head, whereas the other bridges you see around the world are sort of elegant impossibilities of engineering. This is highly possible, the Sydney Harbour Bridge. We've also got the Opera House, which is strange because it's actually a chopped up basketball. It's all spheres, sort of spherical segments cut off. You know, so if you got a sphere and actually got, you know, a big circular thing of icing and cut through it, you could make your opera house out of that. And so that's where it's sort of elegant and not circular. So you come inland, and you go higher levels, and the sunken river system, complex river system, which gives you Sydney Harbour, disappears, and you get onto fairly boring plains. And then after a while, you rise up into the Blue Mountains, which is this sandstone wonderland of these canyons and caves and hills and unexpected stuff. But in this area, in the valley, it's very expected. It's very flat, expected and boring. And there, they've built something called the Jones Sutherland concert centre, big concert hall. And basically, if you've got the Opera House, which is visually impressive, this is basically a shoebox, and it's sort of architecturally ho-hum, but people still go there. And I went with my mother-in-law just to spend the day, because she's getting sort of cabin fever, not being able to shop here, down to the shopping centre, big Westfield shopping centre. One of the biggest shopping centre complexes in the world, apparently. It's this, but it's the mall. You in the United States call it the mall. And the UK is still in awe of the shopping centres. Australians, I don't know. So it's a big shopping centre, and associated with it is the Joan Sutherland Centre. Joan Sutherland was a famous opera singer. She had a bit of disdain for Western Sydney, but Western Sydney didn't have a disdain for her, and so they built a opera centre, which I don't think she only went out to it twice. It was named after her. She only went out twice. She was a bit of a, I don't know, 1950s Australian, sort of the worst, you know. She was famous, so even though she had some funny views, we still loved her nonetheless. So we went to this place. Took a quarter of an hour to find a park, don't we know it? Nowadays, you've got machine recognition of your car going through. It reads your number plate, so you just drive through, and it just knows. And I don't quite understand how it happens, but you can actually lose your car in the car park, and you just go up and say your number plate, and it said, "Oh, your car's over there." They know exactly where your number plate is as well. It's sort of pretty spooky, apparently. So went there, and 3 hours, and of course it. Three quarters of an hour before it began, quarter of an hour, and sort of an hour before it began, it went on. And so we were pushing to get away. And so this mystery is that we went to book online. It was all sold out. A morning performance by the Navy Band, Christmas Navy Band, was sold out. What is going on here? It's before Christmas, but what was going on here? And by and by, it was absolutely crowded, and they brought out lots of pensioner seats. So the patrons could sit down, and you went down, and there was a whole lot of pensioners singing Christmas carols, raising money for the Red Cross, and lollies and tea. And it was a little bit unusual. Everyone was quite happy, all filed in, and to this, what is it, opera thing? Basically a performance hall, and it's a performance hall of the shape, the building is the shape of a shoebox, and this is a shoebox within a shoebox. And so there's galleries either side, sort of linear straight galleries either side, and it's sort of just flat, the most uninspiring building I've seen, stage there. And there's a bit of a scene, a pull-up cheap banner saying Australian Navy, Harmony Over the Seas or something like that. No, not too much. And then these large, the opera, the music things, there's a drop-down banner with Australia written in gold and a Navy symbol. Not too much. And by and by, the Navy came out in their complete white uniforms, and it sort of reminded me a little bit of the military bands which were all over Moscow, keeping morale up. And so this idea that the Navy there, and there turned out to be the maestro, who is a 50-year-old officer, and there were all the other petty officers there, all in their Navy uniform. They came out, and you'd say, oh, that person's obviously not a submariner, they're a little bit tall, that person's very old, that person's got a little pot belly in the Navy uniform, they're all white Navy uniform. All the Americans are sort of slightly over the top in their uniforms, the British, it's nice cold here, Australia it's quite hot, so it's all short sleeves. That mercifully they got rid of the shorts. And long socks, all the white shoes, slightly a bit strange. Now, of course, there's sort of Navy camouflage and Navy boots, and you know, everything's more sensible. So they were dressed uniform. So everyone went out, and the first one was with four people with the orchestra there, the snare drums, and it sort of, they explained what it's about. Now, I'm not going to go through all the different things. There was all these Christmas things, and this Navy officer singing George Michael, Last Christmas I Gave You My Heart, yeah, the very next day. I must admit, I really didn't listen to the tune until it's actually sung to me. Various people knew some of the carols, sang along with the people, and then there was various, I don't know, the Navy band is actually quite interesting, because there's a Navy band for each military unit, so there's probably seven or five military zones in Australia, each zone under command. Stop there to see what's happening here. Son's come home, and it's obviously schools are finishing up, councils finishing up, there's Christmas parties everywhere, lots of beer and wine soaking the entire country, including feeding en masse alcohol to these pensioners. Okay, so this hall, there's row DD, BB, CC, DD, oh, sorry, BB, AA, and then it goes AB, and then it goes reverse ABCD. E up to Z, so it gives you an idea. There's 30 rows of roughly, must be, I was calculating, so seating capacity of say 400 max there. Chock-a-block full of pensioners with that stuff, and the at the start, well, I guess I'll go back at the start, they had, my grandmother found these chocolate biscuits they were giving out for free, and this is not really usual stuff. You don't normally pick up much free food in Australia. So I had one biscuit and a second biscuit. And then afterwards, this old lady came up and said, did they have chocolate biscuits? And I said, yes. What they like? And I said, they were fantastic. The best biscuits I've ever had. They filled me with full joy and all this sort of stuff. And she just got the full joke that I had no idea that she was wanting one. That type of stuff. And they had sort of a little plastic bucket with a hole in it to throw in coins for The Red Cross, and the idea is that the Red Cross shouldn't be here, they should be up supporting the firefighters. So of course, Australia, New South Wales has over 100 fires. The fires are probably more devastating than the Californian fires. We don't have the sort of the footage of someone going, I've got all this wealth and I don't know where it's all gone, it's all burned, oh, it's all unfortunate, and then wait for a while and I blame so and so. That doesn't happen in Australian footage. They go, oh, it's burnt, I'm devastated, who do you blame? I mumble, so it's not the footage to get out here, and you're living in Australia, you expect to burn, but Australia really is burning, and there's been thick smoke blanketing Sydney. One day we had pollution as bad as Beijing. Well, there you go. Okay, so getting back, all filed in the Navy Band. The Navy Band is complex because you've got different people there. It turned out, so it's a band, but it can morph into different things. A chamber orchestra, they have a jazz band, a New Orleans band, they can break up and do several weddings, or it can do a rock band for here. It's just general purpose musicians, which can be morphed to go to regional areas in Australia, just perform. So really, it is sort of like a government-sponsored orchestra, but it's not like it's not a stuffy, it is sort of government funded rather than the symphony orchestras. So there's a few symphony orchestras in Sydney, there's the Penrith, there's probably about five symphony orchestras around there, and you sort of stay there. These are much more dynamic people, they sing various things and doing various trumpet and flute solos. One of the, I suppose, interesting things was that they you have people who go in to the band, join it, become teachers, leave the band, rejoin as teachers. In fact, they're mostly music teachers, school music teachers, which have a job, do a stint there. And then there's a few, two from the Russian Navy. So the Russian Navy? No, but they were in the Russian Navy, but they've come to Australia and now they've joined the Australian Naval Band. Now, you still have to have your security clearances and all that type of stuff, and you're called on active duty to get on ships and play music to the people you just bombed, I would expect. And sort of all crazy, but there was a flautist who had a Russian name, and then there was, I wish I could remember, the piano player was also Russian. So the piano player was, the flautist was this very tall, blonde flautist, and there was something a bit icy about it, you know, coming through, but sort of nice. I really wish I could remember the tune. I wish I could remember, it's, what's his name, Ivan, or some really, really Russian name. So there's bloke, complete Russian, and he was backing the New Orleans band, so it was all fusion. And there was sort of, you know, complete schmaltz going through it. And in the middle of it, there was a Christmas promotion, and so this chief petty officer came up, and the head of the Naval Music Australia, who has got these different bands operating, came and gave a Christmas promotion to this warrant officer, and so they pulled the gaffer tape off his epaulets. His wife and the conductor pulled the epaulets, and he was pronounced a warrant officer, a naval warrant officer. A pity our ships look. I don't know what the Australian Navy's like. It's sort of incomprehensible compared. You know, the oceans are pretty big, the needs are pretty big, and shipping lanes are just. And there's so much going on. what is it, speaking with the air warfare people, surface assets are short-lived targets, they say, you know, in terms of they spot them, destroy them pretty easily. And one wonders how the Americans will survive. I think they've got 10, Americans got 10 fleets, 10 nuclear air force carriers, aircraft carriers, and they've got enough firepower to blow everything else out. But all the rest of the world are basically, their navies are aspirational things, even the Chinese Navy. It's really, really interesting to watch how this goes. So they had this overall concert, and coming back, and at the end they had two people. Now it's very interesting that various people were leaving the band to go, going to the UK. Another, and there was a few husband and wives. So I assume the two Russians were married, and there was all you sort of don't normally have a working environment where there's husbands and wives there, and it's all sort of very chummy. And so we have now the mystery. So they're all dressed in white, and she was just, if you want to listen to music, you just go into a shopping centre, I suppose, and listen to it. Look a little bit different. Musically, look, I was surprised by the range of talent of these people, because it's normally a young kid, which is just incredibly talented, and you go, well, that's a phenomenon. These people were still phenomenal, old, and look, I can't even tap my pen in time to music, let alone do anything they do. The drummers were rather funny, because they had these big white drumsticks, and they would hold them up like a big moustache, and when they weren't drumming, the stick would go up to the rest position, and it looked a bit funny. That's the overall story. So we now have the mystery of what happened. Well, at the end, you're running out of time, and they had the draw of your lucky draw 12 people. So that's sort of that is something which has crept in. I don't know where these prizes. This is, you go to a picnic or anything, a picnic, an event called Christmas. They always have a raffle, and where they give away prizes at the end, just to add the festive. And so we had 12, went out, and there they had bits of cake which you could eat. Well, of course, I ate lollies. And then they had big paper cups, trays, all filled with Chardonnay and Riesling. You know, Chardonnay in paper cups, Riesling in paper cups, put all over there. And where is it? And then when they knew what you're having, they would go over and toss some ice into it. Now, this Chardonnay was about probably, it's a cup of Chardonnay, but in a big paper cup. And you go out, and then they had free sausages. Now, of course, this is turns out to be a very cheap feed for people, all these pensioners who come out. Of course, they were discussing, I'll have to turn out, about how I could get my seniors card. I'm 56. And they knew all the different rules and stuff like that. And indeed, the fact that I've got 30 minutes. So we went through there. We had our different sausages. I don't know. There is this communication gap level between different groups of people. There's a group of people I tend to speak with, who take everything really seriously and quite literally, and everything you can say can offend very quickly. Then there's the older people who are much more fluid and are much more jokey, I suppose, might be jokey. And then you've got the younger people who are continuously almost doing memes on everything, sort of reversing things. So that's the little mystery of the Australian Navy band. And it's sort of, I don't know, I'm sure it's sort of military spending. It's under the big Australian military budget. It's probably you know, the United States saying, we want you to spend so much money. And so what they've done is that they've moved some arts funding into the military. Into the military for some sort of reason. I don't quite understand it. They moved in there and said, oh, United States, we're spending our 2% of our GDP. 2% of our GDP. 3% is on education. 2% is on... is on military, God forbid. And it's also Australia. It's just the entire thing is that you get technology, and almost by definition, by the time you've installed it, it's almost going to be completely useless. So that's 2%, not 1 year, year upon year of staff. And essentially, if you don't do it, you're handing good people rubbish. I don't know how to do. So I suppose music doesn't go out of date. And is music a weapon? I suppose these are all questions that you could ask. But that's my podcast on the Australian Navy Christmas. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.